I drew rat poop at work.
That's great.
I drew rat poop, and then I shaded a pig butt.
That's...
This is why I need to start that old job search.
Welcome to 20-somethings with Attitude, the PowerPod Rangercast podcast where we watch old episodes of Power Rangers and hold them up to scrutiny they in no way were intending. Forming the head, I'm your host and lead ranger, Andrew, and I'm just going to keep going with ears up, Jenny out as my co-host, Seth.
What's up?
Our third co-host, Joe, couldn't be here today because he was captured by a space pirate and made to mine a planet for gold coins?
So today we watched episode 329 of Power Rangers as a whole, episode 36 of Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, Beware the Mutiny, which originally aired November 12, 1999. Terra Venture is greeted in the Lost Galaxy by Captain Mutiny, who the Rangers discover runs a slave camp and is looking to add the colony's citizens to his workforce. Mutiny unleashes the Grunchor monster on Terra Venture, which burrows underground. Andrew, it does not sound like you are in the mood for this, so in a sentence or less, what did you think?
I'm no less in the mood than I normally am. I'm just really tired. I did not get home until almost 4 a.m., so I'm not running on a whole lot of sleep. Overall, I guess I could sum up this episode as a lot of interesting season one-esque stuff wrapped around in completely boring crap. For every scene where I was engaged on what goofy shit was happening, there were three where I was bored to tears and could not care less about what was going on. What about you?
I almost agree 100% wholeheartedly. Instead of me elaborating on that, we'll just jump in. Go, Rangers, go! I want to start off by saying that I was putting stuff together. I have some plans later today, and I was putting stuff together for it, so... I had it on the background and I was writing stuff down. It was actually really hard to divert my attention at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, space pirate with the Godzilla ship castle, taking dinghies through space to the space station.
When they were like, there's something approaching, and they said, I don't remember the exact paraphrasing, but it was along the lines of like, there's something approaching. Well, what is it? And he says, it's a giant dinosaur with a castle on its back. And I was like, yes. And when we see it on the monitors, Audrey wasn't looking, so I rewound it, one, because I wanted to see it again, and two, because I needed her to see it, where it's like swimming through space.
It's like slowly floating towards the Terra Venture.
Fucking hysterical.
It's really goofy. But, so, even before the episode started proper, the Netflix screenshot for it was like the pirate guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love his design. He's a fun space pirate guy, so I was on board at that point.
His mooks are great. The swabbies?
The swabbies are one... I mean, literally everything about this is so fun and what I want. It's a themed villain that embraces the theme 100%. I love the swabbies with their goofy faces. I love Captain Mutiny, which I think is a good name for a children's show space pirate. His design is nice. I like his dinosaur castle ship that he floats through space, his little rowboats that they row through space. I mean, this is pure fun. It was hard. Out of all the times I sit down to watch Power Rangers, and I have my laptop up and I'm doing something, it's so easy to just keep one half of an ear on it and glance every now and then. With all this introduction stuff, I mean, I was almost glued to the screen.
Yes.
It was hard to look away. It was fun, and I was gearing up for it. The problem is like you said, that's it. The rest is boring, inconsequential.
I don't know if inconsequential is necessarily
I'm hesitant to say inconsequential,
true.
But I guess we're introduced to the guy with the rocket on his back, and we're introduced to the guy who has a bunch of spikes everywhere.
The one, I'm assuming he's the second in command, or I guess their pirate theme, first mate. I don't even remember what he looks like.
He's
I just remember him talking.
Right?
Possibly. I did like the rocket guy's design. It's simple.
Yeah,
he looks kind of like a transformer.
I mean, it was a nice, simple design. I guess I just didn't.
The problem with this episode in general is Captain Mutiny just woke up, dude. Captain Mutiny is great, and everything about him is great. The problem is he exists kind of in his own little world. No one outside of the comment about the giant dinosaur with a castle on its back floating towards them. No one acknowledges how bizarre this dude is. No one acknowledges literally anything about him. He lives in his own little world where he's a pirate captain and he says pirate captain things and has a bunch of goofy
swabbies.
Yeah, a bunch of swabby mooks and everything.
Swabbies is an awesome name, too.
Oh, yeah. It's almost as great as Crimers.
Like, ooh, I'm so glad we invented Crimers.
We didn't invent it. Remember, it was in...
Oh, fuck, you're right. I wish we
did. It was
in... I thought that was a fiasco thing. I'm thinking of One Crime, Please in the crime bar.
Yeah.
Man, if we invented Crimers, we could have Crimers show up at the crime bar and ask for One Crime, Please. I mean, I wish... We invented Crimers and Swabbies.
Everything about this dude is great. The problem is any scene with him interacting with anybody that's not one of his mooks, it just falls flat because he's doing his whole pirate shtick and everyone else is just kind of like, anyway, about this Lost Galaxy.
Yeah.
And I just don't care. I don't get the Lost Galaxy.
They can't match his interesting levels.
And it'd be fun if everyone was like, can you believe this guy? But again, Power Rangers has to ground itself in its own reality now.
Or if they were, like you said... first mate and actually felt part of the crew.
Well, I'm even talking like the Terra Venture. Like, he comes to the ship, like, no one, everyone's just like, what's up with the Lost Galaxy? And no one stops and goes, like, what's with the pirate dude? Like, like I said, the closest you get is when they say there's a giant dinosaur with a castle on its back and there's a little bit of like a what scene?
Well,
but that's it.
It's really weird, too, when the Rangers are spying on, like, the slave camp, which, when I read it in the Wikipedia synopsis and said it now, like, that's a weird thing to say for a children's show. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I know why, but it's just weird to say, like, oh, this children's show has a slave camp in it. What color ranger do you think Schindler would be? When the Rangers are overlooking the slave camp, they're talking about basically what pirates do. But they act as if it's this weird space concept. And, you know, it's a baby show for babies, but as an adult watching it, I mean, maybe the babies don't know about pirates or whatever, but they're so romanticized, and I don't know, you'll just learn about pirates probably when you learn about Power Rangers. So it's weird for them to act like Earth did not have pirates at some point,
mm-hmm.
and that they were baffled by this concept of, like, a guy who's, like, looking for treasure, and he has, like, a crew and slave stuff.
And I just, I don't know. I don't care about this Lost Galaxy. I don't understand the point. In all honesty, I don't really understand the point of Captain Mutiny deceiving everybody. I mean, in the end, he could just send a monster there. Why's he got to package it up? Unless that's just how he gets his jollies.
His Jolly Rogers?
Heyo.
So, okay. I don't know why, and maybe you'll disagree here, but we are kind of... I don't even think we have been given stakes. The only stakes we know is that they're not supposed to be in the Lost Galaxy, and when you say it, you have to look concerned.
I guess the closest to stakes we have is this episode. I forgot all about this scene until you mentioned that there were no stakes. Commander Stanton and Mike, like, suddenly walk through a door onto a planet, and there's a ghost old man there that says, you gotta leave the Lost Galaxy, you'll be stuck here forever. And that's the closest to stakes we get. But that scene was also something I completely forgot happened because then the pirate showed up on the back of a giant dinosaur.
Yeah, how do you... you gotta do the ghost old man after the pirate so that you're on board.
Like, the show has done as little as it possibly could, but the show has done something to kind of establish to me that being in the Lost Galaxy is bad and they need to get out before it's too late.
But
all
of
that's kind of... Well, that's what I was going to say. It's all kind of just like, whatever. Like, there's no definitive limit. There's no time limit. It's not like, you know, we only got 3 days. And, you know, in the show, 3 days translates to 3 episodes or whatever. It's just, we got to get out or else we can't.
But nothing effectively changes between the last episode before The Lost Galaxy and this episode now. You know.
Are you talking time's all crazy? The plants are going back into the ground. They're special... navigation plants that are in the room for some reason just so that they can show them ungrow.
Like, Commander Stanton says we need to go home, and then Mike or somebody says that the computer doesn't know directions.
I like when they say even the clocks aren't working, and I just thought like all the clocks are frozen, but no, all the hands are just spinning around backwards. And I went, I mean, that's not how time works. It's not, it doesn't,
the clock doesn't have like magnets in it that dictate where it is on the, you know, where time is on the magnetic field.
I mean, I guess, like I always say, I should care, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, the stakes are high, they need to get out or they're trapped, but why don't I care? Is it because nothing effectively changes? Is it because the stakes aren't well-defined?
Speaking of ill-defined stakes, I want to talk about the end scene after the Rangers defeat Rocket Man, Missile Man, Missile Guy, whatever the monster was. After the Rangers defeat this guy, he's still alive on the planet, and Deviant shows up in his, like, weird...
Predator form?
Yeah, and I was like, I guess he's still alive. And I wasn't super surprised about that, because I think when we talked about him, maybe this was it last episode that he showed up? I don't even remember.
I believe so.
We mentioned, you know, he's probably not dead. He's too, I'm saying this with air quotes, big of a character to not be dead, or to not be alive like that. But I don't know, he shows up and I was like, oh, okay, I guess he's still around. And this is where I was like, while it's not, again, it's still not great or anything, this is where I went, okay, I guess the show is kind of defining some stakes for the Lost Galaxy, especially with Captain Mutiny is great and everything, and he does have his own kind of stakes that are presented of, you know, I'm going to send my monster on the Terran Adventure and then capture everyone to mine my gold. He's not connected to anything we've seen the entire season, so Deviant kind of helps bring something into the Lost Galaxy that is a threat we already know. Problem with is... he's in his super form, the Predator form. Then he sucks the power out of what's-his-face, and then he turns back into his old self and is, like, better than ever. And I thought, aren't you weaker now? Wasn't your Predator form the more powerful form?
Yeah, I don't know why he doesn't want to be the Predator guy.
And I just... that's where I was just like, he tells me that he's more powerful now. I look at it and go, I don't think so, dude. I mean, I guess you know you, but I would bet you're not as powerful if you know... Leo showed up and sucked the power out of that dude and turned back into a normal human and unmorphed, and he said, now I'm back to normal, more powerful than ever. And then the dude blowed up and he walked away slowly. I'd say, I don't know, you're not like a Power Ranger anymore. I figure when you're a Power Ranger, you're more powerful than when you're not. But I don't know. I guess whatever you say, buddy.
Do you think we're going to see a scene where the Megazord fights the giant castle dragon ship?
No, because we can't have nice things.
That's all I want. I just want more fun. You know, space, it's not going things. To.
I, now that you say that, man, do I want that more than anything in the world.
Don't you? Like, that's so fun. I mean, I guess the Megazord's much smaller than that. I don't know. Get a super galaxy Megazord.
I want the Megazord to fuse with the... to combine with the space station to create a giant robot... to fight this giant dinosaur with a castle on the back, and I want scenes in the middle of the fight of Captain Mutiny telling the Swabbies to man the poop decks and all that and fire cannons.
Yeah.
How fun.
I mean, that's all I want. Captain Mutiny to do more fun space pirate things. Is Trakeena and everybody there, or is it only Deviant?
As far as I understand, only Deviant.
Because they mentioned that, like, they're getting sucked into the Lost Galaxy, or they mentioned the Lost Galaxy. I don't remember in what form, but...
oh, yeah. Isn't she, like, the opening scene?
No, the ghost old guy I thought was.
Maybe.
No, I think it's all three. I think, yeah, everybody's talking about the Lost Galaxy.
Who cares? So, I think we've kind of hit everything that happened in this episode, and we're only at 17
minutes.
17 minutes.
So... unedited.
This is the problem of, one, Lost Galaxy, where there's not always a lot to talk about, and two, hitting an episode with fun stuff, because you talk about the fun stuff, but you can't really elaborate too much.
What more is there to elaborate on Swabbies, who are goofy-faced pirate guys?
How about their fucking faces? Every time I saw one, I laughed.
I kept trying so hard to see what their faces were. They were shrouded in mystery for a long time.
They're, like, weird, like, I couldn't tell
they're
if they
like
had,
Lego faces.
I couldn't tell if they had, like, little mustaches or something.
They have goatees, yeah.
Weird.
They have
loved
goatees
it.
And painted eyes.
How about their big old painted eyes?
And, like, a happy smile.
Yeah.
They're just loving being Swabbies.
And they do the old putty, like, wiggling thing that I miss.
They all carry a cutlass.
It's like a goofy, like, foam, it's like a giant, not sharp, blunt foam cutlass, and I love that.
I mean, I am so disappointed that I did not come up with Swabbies at some point. I mean, just Pirate Mook's name Swabbies. It's perfect.
Could you imagine a season where this dude was the main villain instead of Scorpina and her ill-defined motives?
That's all I want. I just want more Captain Mutiny doing space pirate things.
Instead, we got... Remember when we got the other space pirate, Diva Talks? And she was just hanging out with Elgar.
Oh, she was only space pirate because she was in space and she...
Had a ship.
I guess. And she was bad.
So, since this is kind of a brief episode,
I'm trying to think. Did we miss it? I mean, we didn't miss anything. It's a lot of nothing.
Yeah. I want to talk about something that I was thinking about while I was at work, and I was bored, and a bunch of things culminated into me. I have some beefs to air, and there's nothing in this episode to address these beefs.
But we got time.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of stuff we already talked about, but it's some stuff I want to elaborate on. So, earlier in the week, I don't remember what I was doing specifically, but I was on YouTube just kind of watching Sentai clips and Power Ranger clips and stuff. I don't remember what really sent me off on that chain.
You don't have to defend it, dude.
That's less of a defense. I'm just trying to remember what it was that videos, you know how YouTube will suggest more videos.
That YouTube rabbit hole.
I was constantly just clicking new things. And somehow I found, I forget if it was before or after, but whatever. I watched the scene of all the different Rangers showing up in Super Mega Force for the final battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, Tommy and everybody, and I have my own beefs with those scenes, because Tommy is shown first as a White Ranger, and then when he shows up later, he's a Green Ranger, and there's nothing to address that. There is a scene, they get Melody Perkins to come back to reprise her role as... Carone. There's a scene with a whole bunch of Rangers. Over half of them are ones that we haven't gotten to yet, so I don't know who the fuck they are. Where they take off their helmets and, you know, they have a line or they just stand there, whatever. And then there's a scene where Tommy's like, we'll fight for you guys and it's going to be an honor to serve with you or whatever. And then they all put on their helmets and there's shots of all the different actors that they were able to get to come on set, putting their helmets back on and everything. And then it gets to Carone and... Before she puts on her helmet, she stops and looks at it and says, I love being a ranger. And then she has like this shift thing. So every ranger, when they show up before they're morphed, there's like a scene of them helping civilians or something. They'll help a civilian. And then to remind you of who they are, there's like a shift where their helmet will appear over their face. She has a shift that shows her as astronomer real quickly. And then she shifts back, puts her helmet on. And there are a bunch of comments saying like, in one scene... Carone, you know, really stole the show, and it was a great scene. And I thought, it is a nice scene. You know, she was a former villain who loves being a ranger now, whatever. But the more I thought about it, and this is where I was, like, kind of dwelling on it while I was bored at work, the more I thought about it, it's a nice scene in theory if she were more of a character that they bothered to explore with. And we kind of talked about this ad nauseum before, but there is nothing of her struggle of being astronomer. In fact, once she becomes a ranger, like we said, she's effectively no longer astronomer. And it's one of those things with everyone talking about the Psycho Rangers and how great they are, but they just kind of remember that the Psycho Rangers existed and don't remember that half of their scenes were just them squabbling with each other. Everyone seems to remember astronomer and how she eventually becomes a ranger and everything, but that story's never truly told. We get that one episode where she fights her past self, and that's it. And I'm just disappointed at this is my beef I'm airing. I'm disappointed that Power Rangers did not bother to explore one of what I think, in theory, could be one of the more interesting stories of a ranger. Like, if you look back at Tommy, there's tons of episodes where Tommy... Because Tommy used to turn evil every Thursday. There's tons of episodes where Tommy lamented... You know, being a former evil ranger and everything. And everyone that I was seeing, because I kind of started just going down the rabbit hole of looking up Carone and what people say about her, everyone wants to treat her as if she is essentially Tommy, a former villain who joins the team later. But that story is never told like it was with Tommy. And it just bugs me. It bugs me because Power Rangers has so much potential. They show me a pirate man on the back of a giant dinosaur, and they don't do enough with him. He's not gonna fight a giant Zord, I know it. And that's Andrew's beef corner. Doesn't sound like you have anything to add, but I don't really know if there is anything to add. It was more just me venting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wonder what changed in season one to in Space or Lost Galaxy, I guess, where Tommy does get that backstory, and they do kind of focus.
Like, why isn't there any focus anymore?
It seems like the show wants to worry about its ongoing narrative, but that ongoing narrative doesn't exist.
And it doesn't really even do that. What's the ongoing narrative in Lost Galaxy?
They want to...
Trakina wants to destroy the Rangers, and the Rangers don't want to be destroyed.
And I guess the Terra Venture wants to find a new home or whatever. Real quick, that reminded me. How about the scene where they were like, we don't know where we are. There's no stars that we can recognize. And I thought, didn't you not know where you were in the first place? Wasn't that the whole point? You guys were just like flying out into space doing whatever?
But they can know stars in our galaxy.
Yes, but I feel like if you travel, like they're not in our galaxy anymore. Aren't in our galaxy.
But I mean, we have stars mapped in not our galaxy.
I suppose, but at that point, like, once you reach past Pluto, I don't think you really know where you are.
Once you reach past poop,
you don't know where you are, except you're not at poop no more.
Why don't you go to poop?
I don't know. Anyway. I don't know. There's no focus. Like I said, we get one, and I know we've already talked about this ad nauseum in the episode about it, but we get one episode of her being a former villain, and they do nothing with it except to have the most obvious visual metaphor they could of her fighting her evil self and then being like, well, I'm not evil anymore because I beat my evil self. And that's it. She never struggles with it. She never brings it up again. It's never mentioned. It's
weird. I mean, you'd think in a Monster of the Week show, they'd say, oh, well, we can't really focus on stuff like this because we don't really want it to be so serialized and we want people to be able to jump on and we're just going to kind of have self-contained episodes. Fine. But then they like have to do this shit all the time. It's like they don't know what they want.
It's kind of like we said, how all of these Rangers are non-characters. They do not exist. We don't know anything about them other than Leo is the leader, and it's only because he's in the forefront of scenes with all the Rangers together, but he doesn't actually do anything to really lead the team. He's just the red one. And beyond that, no one really is anything. They all have their, like, one tiny itty-bitty quirk, but that quirk doesn't matter. You know, like we always say, Maya is the jungle girl, but it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't mean anything. It just means she has, like, two episodes where she can talk to the Galactabeasts.
Which she hasn't done since.
Exactly. With Carone, you have so much potential to, like I said, she could be essentially a more interesting Tommy than Tommy. Because Tommy, and this is the other problem I have with Carone, is the show treats it as if she is Tommy. She was formerly evil, but it's not her fault. And while circumstances happen that put her on that path, Tommy was mind controlled every time he's been evil. Carone was full-fledged an actual villain, doing things of her own volition, who then changed sides. And I find that way more interesting than Tommy.
I do too, yeah.
But they do nothing with it. And anytime it has been mentioned since, it's always, oh, well, like when she's like, I did so many terrible things as astronomer, and everyone goes, but you're not that person anymore. And it's fine to just say, like, you're atoning and everything, but that's not what the show does. It's just like, that wasn't you. That was the evil you, who's not a real person because of reasons.
What was Kat's transition like?
Essentially the same thing. Kat was mind-controlled, and then she was un-mind-controlled, and then she just joins the team and everything's hunky-dory.
Did we ever figure out if she was actually a space cat?
Yeah, we did. She is a human. Remember, she has that backstory where she was a diver?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it bothers me because Astronema should be one of the most interesting characters the show has presented to us so far.
No doubt, yeah.
And, I mean, when she was on the show as Astronema, she was an engaging villain. The show just doesn't do anything with her, though. She should be the Tommy that everybody loves. Like, all that praise Tommy gets, she does essentially everything Tommy does outside being the specialist ranger, the sixth ranger. She does everything Tommy does, but better. She's a more interesting version of a villain turned hero. She has a more interesting backstory. She has ties to two different teams.
Well, even when she first started turning good, I remember discussing the idea that, like, is she playing good? Is she playing evil? How many sides does this have?
Mm-hmm.
And while that, if I remember right, was pretty much all just us reading into things that the show didn't care about, was an interesting point. You know, that Astronema is struggling to recover her true self, and in doing so,
you know, she's not 100% good. She's not 100% evil. She's kind of internally fighting with that role. And that's such an interesting concept for a Power Ranger that is always unequivocally good and pure.
It's so frustrating because, like I said, the show treats it as if she wasn't evil of her own volition. And granted, once she sort of joins the Rangers and in space for an episode or two, and then she becomes evil again. When she becomes evil again, it's because they stuck a thing on her head and it wiped her mind or made her evil or whatever. And that was the show's cop out. And then once that happened, they just pretended like that was what had always happened, that she had always been mind controlled. But when she first shows up as a villain, and she has apparently, as we are told, a long history of being a villain before in space, that's all her. Those are all her choices. Her upbringing, granted, leads into that, but that also just makes it more interesting. But the show doesn't care. And like I said, that moment in Lost, or in Super Mega Force or whatever, where, you know, she looks at her helmet and says, "I love being a ranger," and then she has that shift to astronomer to remind you that she used to be a villain, I should have felt something there. And instead, I'm just kind of dead to it, because she's a non-character. And it's just, I want this show to be good, Seth.
Oh, I do too.
And like we always say, a lot of these are simple fixes. You know, making astronomer more interesting is more work than most of the fixes we make, which are usually just a scene change here or there. But even her story, it essentially writes itself. It's all there. All the pieces are in place. And then I think I used this analogy once before. They set up all the pieces and get everything in place to start playing the game. And then they push everything off the table and play Scrabble instead. I don't know what to do, man. I want to like this show. I see the pirate man, and I love him. But I feel like he's going to be in next episode. Do you think he's the back half villain? I doubt it.
Yeah, he definitely is.
I want to believe he is. But we know Trakeena, because I faintly remember, after you mentioned it, there is a scene of her saying something about being sucked into the Lost Galaxy or whatever. Or following everybody into the rift or something. I don't remember. Whatever it is, she's going to show up. Maybe she'll team up with this guy, but I have a feeling he's going to be around for maybe 3 episodes, and then he'll get destroyed and Trakeena will show up.
There's only like 6 left.
I guess, but this show has had so many cycling villains at this point. Like, he's just another cog in the machine. He's a more interesting cog, but I have a feeling.
A cog nonetheless.
He's just going to show up, do his thing for a little bit, and then be gone.
Anyways, Munchor shows up, burrows underground like a tremor, and then freeze frame end credits.
Womp. So, Seth, 2 put-ups and a put-down.
Oh, Captain Mutiny, for sure. Captain Mutiny is number 1. Swabbies are number 2. You might be able to interchange those around because Swabbies are... I have never been so disappointed I didn't come up with something. And fucking Swabbies. God, that's good. My put-down is going to be the second half of this episode that was boring as all get out after all the fun Captain Mutiny, space pirate, dinosaur castle ship things.
Put up number 1 is going to be Swabbies. I love them. I love Goofy Mooks. I love, as much as I hated the putties when we first got them and they got old, around, I think it was around second half of season 1, season 2, when they really started getting goofy, I miss putties. I think it was Turbo, we've been getting American-made Mooks and they're all boring.
Yeah, the Kari's sucked.
I love the Swabbies, though. Second put up, I love the dinosaur with a castle on its back swimming through space just a tiny bit more than I love Captain Mutiny.
See, I threw all of that into Captain Mutiny's entry.
I would, but I just want to highlight the fact that there is a giant Godzilla-like rubber dinosaur with a castle on its back that does like a breaststroke through space. Love it. I love that kind of shit. Put down, it's gotta be Astronema and Caron's whole deal, even though it's not in this episode. I vented so much about it.
Caron's in this episode.
She is. And I still looked at her and said, why the fuck are you wearing black leather? Okay, some quick house cleaning before we get to the Japanese counterpart and what episode we'll be watching next. You can find us online at oncemorewithattitude.tumblr.com. We post new episodes and extras every Monday. You can also tweet at us at 2SWAPod.
If you like us and think we're two funny guys, you can also read a comic we work on, Ragged Rider, Tales of a Cowboy Mummy. CowboyMummy.com will have all the info you need. Also, the whole first issue, whole bunch of shorts. We're in the process of doing a version 2, so whenever that comes around, you'll see that there. And now on to the Japanese counterpart.
Seth, why don't you give us a Japanese counterpart to whatever this is? I know there is a brief clip of the Rangers mowing down swabbies with their laser cannons.
So we actually have a bunch. We have Chapter 1 of Seiju Sentai Gingaman, The Legendary Blades, which I believe I've read before, so I'm not going to do that again. The other ones I don't think we have. We have Chapter 41, The Revival of the Demon Beast, in which Titanic's revival at hand, Gingaman head forth to stop the Demon Beast, as Hayuga and Bukris likewise try to stop Zahab before he can destroy the Earth. We also have Chapter 43, The Footprints of Legends, in which Gingaman recalls all of their adventures and trials facing the Barbin while looking over pictures for Haruhiku's new book about them. Sounds boring.
Sounds like a clip show.
And then we have Chapter 48, The End of Moak. As the Earth Demon Beast corrodes the planet with pollution, Moak decides to make a sacrificial move in order to prevent its power from hurting the planet of Gingaman. Meanwhile, the Balbin locates Bukrides in Hyuga's location.
Cool beans.
So next time, we're going to watch I Can't Believe It's Not Tremors, episode 37, Grunchor. Oh, his name's Grunchor, not Munchor. Grunchor on the Loose, in which I assume it will be not Tremors.
Cool beans. As usual, I watch these in my PS form on Netflix.
As usual, I watch these in my TV form on Netflix.
And I have been your host, Andrew. And riding his giant dinosaur through space is my co-host, Seth. And join us next time when we do this once more with attitude.
I was kind of doing this during the show, but I was doing it before the show, too. I was reading this comment thread on something, and I want to share this with you. My toddlers are really into dinosaurs, so they watch a lot of the Land Before Time movies. Why is it that dinosaurs know the word for star and have a workable definition for its use as a shape and as the objects in the night sky, but don't use the word leaf, instead saying tree star? What the fuck? You have the word for tree and star, but not leaf? Same with Sleep Story. They understand the complicated meaning behind story, but can't use dream? And don't get me started on Curious George. That shit is absurd. How many goddamn times are you going to leave that fucking monkey alone? He's a monkey. Put him in a fucking baby Bjorn and stop foisting the responsibility onto society to manage him. They then go on to say, along those lines, I have always been fascinated by Han Solo saying, I'll see you in hell in Empire Strikes Back. Not only do they have these people whose religion is based on an unseen force that some people can control and manipulate, but they also have a concept of heaven and hell. And if they have a hell, where is it? Is it beneath Hoth? Is it beneath Tatooine? Where is Han from? Is it our hell? I've been thinking about that since I was 6. They also go on to say, looking for implied Judeo-Christian manifestations in entertainment, no matter how absurdly placed, has long been a hobby. My favorite is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. If there's a Who Christmas, there had to have been a Who Jesus and a Who Romans and a Who Crucifixion and probably Who Pagans whose feasting and celebration days were usurped.
Wonderful.
How fun is that?